If you're in a growth class tonight, Brother Hagedorn's going to be taking you out to the building next door. And King David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And Brother Hagedorn will put it in you, buddy. He'll make your bones fat. He'll make you healthy in the Lord. You need if you haven't been in a growth class, you're missing out. You need to be in a growth class. And go and see Brother Hagedorn, and he'll get you in 20 lessons and put some meat on your bones and make you strong in the Lord. 93% chance of you living for God if you have a home Bible study and a growth class. And we have those available for you. So if you need a new life and you need to be in there. Without any further ado, we're going to bring Brother Will Banks tonight. And everybody say, "Preach with the preacher." I'm glad I don't have to go to the mayor. And I'm glad I don't have to go to the president. There's always going to be a word in the house. And I came tonight, I don't know about you, but I came to hear a word from God tonight. And I believe we're going to have a word in the house tonight. Praise the Lord. We love you, Brother Will Banks, Sister Will Banks. We're glad you could be with us. Everybody extend your hand toward Brother Will Banks and pray for his family. Appreciate you. Love you, brother.
Hallelujah. Why don't we lift up our voice and let's praise the Lord one more time. He's the only one that's worthy. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. I'd like to say it's good to be here. I think this is my first time, unless I'm suffering from a major case of amnesia. I think this is my first time to be in this building. Definitely my first time to be extended the honor of getting to preach here. And I give honor to your pastor and to the leaders in the church and to this church as a body. We've had church already tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. And God has already touched. God has already moved. Hallelujah. Would like to say thank you to Brother Sutton, your pastor, for being not just the pastor of this church, but for having statewide and even nationwide and even worldwide vision for revival. You are blessed to have him as a man of God. Alabama is blessed. I am glad that we get to intermingle and have church together. And definitely a man that I honor and very highly regard. Hallelujah. Well, I'm not going to take a lot of time tonight, I think. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. You say that, and then sometimes you weren't telling the truth when you say that. So I think I'm not going to take a lot of time tonight. But I do have something on my heart. And you mind if we preach a little old-fashioned tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have your Bible and wouldn't mind turning with me, I'm going to read a couple passages of Scripture, the 24th Psalm and Matthew chapter 12. Psalm 24, Matthew chapter 12. Read out of Psalm 24 first. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
24th Psalm, the first verse says this: "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." So much for American philosophy. You are not your own. Doesn't matter if you've been blood-bought, you still belong to God. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." Verse 2, "For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods." Verse 3, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place?" Notice it didn't say who's going to go into the valley of the Lord or who's going to stay on the plains of the Most High, but who shall ascend? It's an upward movement. How many are glad that you're not going down and you're not staying where you're at, but you're going up? Since the Holy Ghost came and filled you from the bottom to the top, your nose is pointed upwards and it's onward and upward. Hallelujah. "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place?" In verse 4, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Everybody said a pure heart. He who hath clean hands and a pure heart. And we'll stop there. Let's go to Matthew, the 12th chapter. And verse 33 is where we will begin. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, this is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, everybody said the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. I want to preach to you for just a little while tonight, if you'll allow me to. And with the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to preach to you about the heart. I don't know if that's my title, but that's what we're going to be preaching about tonight. And the Holy Ghost is going to touch you tonight. I said the Holy Ghost is going to touch you tonight. It doesn't matter what you came in here with. It doesn't matter what struggle you've been facing throughout this week and throughout the day. The Holy Ghost is going to touch your heart tonight. Hallelujah. Why don't we lift our hands, lay your Bibles down. Let's lift up our voice one more time. Let's ask God to touch us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for your spirit that is here. God, I thank you for your anointing. God, I thank you for your power. God, I ask you tonight to ignite a spiritual revival and revolution in somebody's life like they've never known before. God, let your Holy Ghost get a hold of us. Change me from the inside out, God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, fill somebody with the Holy Ghost tonight. God, take somebody off of drugs tonight. God, rearrange somebody's life tonight. God, heal somebody's marriage tonight. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and smile at them real big. Show them your pearly whites or pearly yellows, whatever the case may be. And tell them it's good to see them in new life and that they can be seated in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The heart. The basis for doing well is the heart. I like to say this from time to time because it's amazing. Every now and then you get a shocked look. Or at least a look of bewilderment when you say it, and that is this. Living for God is a spiritual thing. You're not living for God just because you come to his house. You're not living for God just because you fellowship with the Pentecostal brethren and sisters. You're not living for God just because you put your money in the offering plate and just because you dress a certain way. You are living for God because you have yielded your spirit and you have yielded your heart to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Living for God is a spiritual thing. Now, there are many different ways that Scripture addresses the way that we live for God in spirit. And perhaps the most, in my mind, the most effective way to talk about living for God in a spiritual sense is to talk about the heart. Scripture talks about it over 840 times and uses it as an illustration, talking about penetrating all the way to the very core of mankind. So the basis for doing well is the heart. Turn to your neighbor and say, the basis for doing well is the heart. The heart is the center of vitality. It is the life sustainer of the human body. Now, we generally talk about the heart in three different realms. The first one is in the physical sense or the organic heart. Do we have any physicians in the house tonight or nurses or anybody that deals with? All right, good. You guys will just think I know what I'm talking about. And you just he's just absolutely a medical student. I'm not really. We can talk about the heart, the organic heart in the physical or medical sense. It is the vascular hub for the human body. because it moves blood throughout the entire body. It is responsible for the internal transportation of essential components for human life, such as nutrients. When you eat, it goes through your bloodstream to go to every little cell in your body. Your heart is responsible for moving it there. Oxygen, the removing of waste. Healing and reconstructive agents to injured or diseased parts of the body. The heart is responsible for getting all of these things where they need to go because it is the hub of the vascular system. And we're talking about the organic heart. Everybody say, talking about my thumping gizzard. Sorry, that's my Coleman lingo. That's where I grew up. Thumping gizzard. One of the leading causes of death around the world today is heart disease around the world. That's one of the leading causes. I have a cousin lives in Houston, Texas. If you ever get the chance to not go to Houston, Texas, thank God. I mean, is anybody from Houston here? Okay. Anyway, he was sitting with his fiance in Starbucks coffee, one of the greatest places on earth. And he was sitting there drinking whatever he ordered and all of a sudden got very dizzy and fell out of his chair onto the floor of Starbucks. Now, there's a lot of places in the evening when you're looking to wind down and just relax a little bit. There's a lot of places where you can lay down and be comfortable. Starbucks coffee is not one of those places. You're not going to be comfortable if you lay down on the floor. In fact, you're going to think something's pretty weird. So he tries to stand up, and immediately this wave of dizziness comes over him again, and he falls into the floor. This second episode prompts them all to call the paramedics, and they rush him to the medical center there in Houston. When they look at him through whatever tests that they did and whatever diagnostic system that they used, they found out that he had a problem with his heart. Now, I thought this was very interesting. It doesn't take a lot to interest me, but I thought this was very interesting. When they went inside his heart, to ascertain what was wrong, they found that in the aortic wall of his heart there was a little flap of muscle tissue, and apparently from the time that he was a little child he had had a defective nerve in his heart that sent an extra impulse to it, and it made it, the body said, oh, this isn't right. And so the body's defense against this defective nerve was to begin to layer it with muscle tissue until by the time he's 22, 23 years old, all of a sudden, all these layers of muscle tissue have created a flap. And when he stands in a certain position, it covers up one of the valves that sends blood, obviously, to his brain, and he passes out. Now, fortunately, just so you know the rest of the story, they were able to go in and remove that and to deaden the nerve so it wouldn't cause him any problem, just to complete the story. Now, I don't know if my cousin would get up tonight and preach to you this sermon about the heart, but I know that he would tell you that the center for doing well is the heart. And we just got done talking about the organic heart or the physical heart, the heart that all of us have. But that's not the only way that we talk about the heart. The second way that we talk about the heart is in the poetic sense. It's the love, the affective sense. When writers talked about true love being expressed, they talked about it being issued forth from the heart. Nobody ever says when they talk about their wife or about their fiance or about their boyfriend or about their husband, nobody ever says they stole my face. But they will say they stole my heart. This is the way, one of the ways we talk about the heart. It's the seat of true love. It's where the strongest of emotions are emitted forth. But that is not the only way, the last way that we talk about the heart. The third, and this is where we are going to preach for a little bit tonight, is this. We talk about the heart in the Christian sense. Now, when we preach about the heart in the Christian sense, we're not talking about the vascular hub for your body. And we're not talking about just the place where you feel this fuzzy feeling coming from when you look at the person that you love. But we are talking about the very center and the very core of every human being. It is the core around which all of life revolves. Hallelujah. That's why in Proverbs the writer said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It is the core. Keep your heart with all diligence, because out of the core come all the issues of life. That's why the psalmist said in 119 and 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. If you want to have your feet planted solid, New Life Tabernacle. If you want to have your feet on the rock and not be shaken with every wind of doctrine that comes around and every perverted sin that throws itself your way, you have to get the word of God, not just in your mind, not just in your mouth, but you got to get it in your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many are glad you got a man of God that'll preach the word of God to you and it gets in your heart? Hallelujah. It's the heart. I believe that's why the psalmist said again in the 19th psalm, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Mark writes it this way in Mark 7 and 6. He answered and said unto them, well, Jesus was talking about the nation of Israel. He was quoting Isaiah. Isaiah was talking about the nation of Israel. Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Hey, I'm going to preach to somebody tonight and tell you this. It is possible to come to church and just get into the physical, waving your hands and kicking your feet and dancing and running the aisles. Or you guys skip the aisles. You used to. I thought that was really cool. Whatever you do. But it is possible for you to come to church, service after service, and go through the ritual of living for God day after day, and your heart be far from God. My plea tonight, my heart, God, make it right with you. Bring my heart close to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If that's your prayer, say, Lord, make my heart right. Lord bless you. You may be seated. If you've ever been around an old time prayer warrior and heard them talk or been privileged to hear them pray and been in the prayer room, I remember being a young man in Michigan where I grew up and hearing some of those old ladies of God and old men of God as they would get down and pray. And sometime you would hear that coming from over in the corner, and it was enough to make the hair stand up on the back of your neck, and it was enough to make the hardest of hearts crumble and break. But if you were around them for any time at all and talk to them in a conversation with something besides baseball or the weather, any conversation that had any kind of meaning, you were going to hear about the heart. If you heard them pray, most of the time you would hear their prayer if they were praying for their children. If they had a child that was lost and was not in church and was not filled with the Holy Ghost, you would hear that old time prayer warrior, that mama or that daddy that had found Jesus. You would hear them praying for the children, something like this. God, touch their heart. God, touch their heart. And you would hear them day after day when they would get down to pray and they would humble themselves before God, and they would find themselves in his presence, and they would say, God, again today, take my heart in your hands and make my heart right. I'm preaching to somebody tonight. God's here to do a heart operation on you. God wants to take your heart tonight. You could hear them talk about somebody that had backslid and left the church, and they would say their heart isn't right with God. I don't know about you tonight, and I don't know what you're going through, but I do know the heart mender, and I know the one that can reach all the way down through whatever yuck and muck that you found yourself in and touch your heart. Old songwriters, you can be seated. Old songwriters would write songs about the heart, and it would go like this. Something got a hold of me. Oh, yes, it did. Something got a hold of me. Well, I went to a meeting one night, and my heart, oh, my heart wasn't right.
But something, oh, something got a hold of me. And it would go into the chorus, and this is how it would go. And it was the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. Well, it got in my hands, it got in my feet. But oh, praise God, it got a hold of me. Hey, there's something about the Holy Ghost getting a hold of your heart. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody that you might be cold in your walk with God today. Let the Holy Ghost get a hold of your heart tonight. Hallelujah. Let's love the Lord one more time. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Perhaps one of the most oft-quoted passages of Scripture in a Pentecostal culture would be this next one that I'm about to quote to you and read to you. It is something that if you have been a part of this church any time at all, probably you have heard either read or quoted from this pulpit this passage of Scripture. It is Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Hallelujah. And I will tell you that that is one of the kingpins that everything is based on if you're an apostolic child of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's why we don't preach that there's three. That's why we don't preach you can serve God any old way you want to. There's one, and there's only one way to get to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that is normally where we stop. You can be seated. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And verse 5 says this, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. It continues, but that's where we're going to preach. This is what it says. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart. It shall be in your heart. Saints of God, when the word of God comes across this pulpit from an anointed man of God, from your pastor, it has to be something that you do more than just ingest it and place it into your mind or get it into your thought process or be able to speak it and quote it. It has to be something that engrafts itself into your heart. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Perhaps one of the most important scriptures in all of the Bible. And Moses said, it's not enough for you just to know about it, Israel. It's not enough for you just to know about it, children of Israel. Young people, it's not enough for you just to know about it. It has to find its way all the way through your mind and get into your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated. I have a couple of friends that if I called their name right now, probably Brother Dawson Sutton would know them. And maybe some of you would know them. That I went to Bible school with them, lived in the dorms with them, shared some good times with them, shared some powerful, I'm talking about some powerful spiritual moments with them where the deep presence of God would come in. And we went to church together and we prayed together and we would go on outreach together and go to jail ministry together and we would go to places to preach together and all of these different things we did together. Today, neither one of them are in church. I'm not saying I did anything better. Neither one of them are in a church that preaches the gospel. And the sad thing is, they don't feel like they're backslid yet. Because they still wear the tie. And they still sit on the platform. And they still get up behind a microphone. and they still get fiery, and they still get the anointing, the feeling that only the anointing of the Holy Ghost can bring to you. They still get it. But somewhere, somehow, they didn't get it in their heart. This has to be something. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not something that we come to just because it makes sense. This, in fact, most of what we do doesn't make logical sense. We are our own culture. If you don't believe that, try walking into Walmart or the mall or something and look at somebody you've never met before and say, "Praise the Lord." Try it. If you don't think we're a culture unto ourselves, why don't you try going into your high school and dancing in the Holy Ghost in front of the lockers? Most of what we do doesn't make logical sense. It doesn't compute in today's society. But I'll tell you where it makes sense. It's when you get down on the level called spirit. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Notice that. The human is made up of three layers: body, soul, and spirit. That's coming from, it describes it from the outside in. Body. Everybody's got one here. Some of us a little bit larger than others. Body, soul, and spirit. From the outside in. But when Moses gave his commandment, he said, "You don't do this from the outside in. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all." Notice, not from the outside in. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. In other words, you can't say you love God just because you wave your hands and just because you clap them on Sunday night or on Wednesday night. It has to be something that is all the way at the very core of your being. I serve Him from the inside out. Body, soul, and spirit. The extreme expressive part of humanity. This is the extreme part of it that you see. The part that is furthest out. Body, soul, and spirit. Now it is, when you start serving God with your heart, your soul, and your mind, then you, when you get to church, you just can't sit still. If it's all the way at the core, it's something you just can't sit still. Every part, body, soul, and spirit, heart, mind, heart, soul, and strength, and might. When you get here, you have to demonstrate it. Oh, hallelujah. That's what was so beautiful about what was going on in church earlier tonight. If you come to church and you don't dance in the aisle, hey, you're missing the best heart blessing that you could ever get, because it's the point where your heart can express itself. This is the part where it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. This is a spiritual thing between me and God. It doesn't matter what kind of ugly spirit I fought this week. Hallelujah. If you believe that right now, you ought to worship Him with all your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It has to be in your heart. Turn to your neighbor and say, "It has to be in your heart." Hallelujah. So I preach to the young people for just a moment, and you can be seated. You better get some things in your heart. You better get some things in your heart. It needs to be a part of your core that there is only one God. Hallelujah. I got one amen over there. I'll say that again because you need to say amen to that. You better get it in your heart that there is only one God. You better get it in your heart that we don't live like everybody else around here. You better get it in your heart that we don't participate in some of the things they participate in. We live holy because it's in our heart to live holy. We don't live holy because the preacher said live holy. We live holy because it's in our heart to live holy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why young people run off and do some of the things they do. It's because it's not in their heart. Mom and daddy, you got to get it in their heart in your home. This isn't just church religion. This is something that you take home with you. And it gets in your heart. You better get it in your heart the way to be saved. Acts 2:38, you better get it in your heart. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You better get that in your heart. I said, you better get that in your heart. Hallelujah. You better get it in your heart that we live supernaturally. Hallelujah. You better get it in your heart that the way we walk and the way we talk and the things that we do in the Holy Ghost, that's a part of us. That's a part of who we are. That's in our heart. You can be seated. I remember one time within the first 2 years of being married, we were broke, flat broke. And it didn't look like it was going to get any better until my next paycheck, which was about 2 weeks away. Hallelujah. Woo! Fasting for 2 weeks. This is just the way, when you get this in your heart, this is just the way things work. We got up for church that Sunday morning, and we had 2 pieces of bacon, 2 eggs, and 2 English McMuffins at home. And we scrambled the eggs, and we fried the bacon, and we put both between a toasted English muffin, and we had bacon and eggs and cheese McMuffins before we went to church. And that was it. It was good because, you know, you eat this because, man, you got to make this last for a long time. This is the last thing we've got. Hallelujah. But that Sunday afternoon, it seemed like we had just a little bit of money. We were going to stop at a grocery store and buy something to eat. Albertson's grocery store. Do they have Albertson's here? Anyway, we stopped at Albertson's grocery store. And we walked in, or my wife walked in, and we had won a contest that we didn't enter for $250 at Albertson's grocery store. Hey, you got to get it in your heart that that's just the way things work when you're serving God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You talk about a chubby kid that felt a lot better about things. Hey, there's no telling what God could do tonight. But he doesn't do it just because we say, God, can you do this? He doesn't do it just because, God, we're here. Can you just do it because we're here? No, if you will serve me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or my seed begging bread. And the only way you could call yourself one of his seed, the only way you could call yourself one of his children is if he has moved into your heart, and his heart and your heart is his. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands one more time. Hallelujah. The aim of the gospel is the heart. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Everybody said amen. Amen. This was the origin and the birth of the church. After this happened, Acts the 2nd chapter said it was noised abroad, and that there were devout men from every nation, devout Jews from all over the world that were in Jerusalem, just so happened to be in Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost, the feast of Pentecost. And Peter gets up when all of these people had gathered around and said, what does this mean that we hear all of these Galileans speaking in our language? We can hear that. And they rattled off, boy, they rattled off 5 or 6 different languages. Acts the 2nd chapter, you can read about it. And they said, what does this mean? And Peter stood up and said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And everybody said, amen. And he begins to preach this long oratorical sermon that was probably quite incredible for a fisherman to preach. And he began to talk about spiritual things and the embodiment of God in flesh in the man Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that I know who he is today. And he begins to talk. He talks about the sun and the moon and the stars. And he covers from A to B. And he gets to the end of his sermon. And apparently it was hot and convicting. And scripture says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 27. And they were pricked in their heart. In other words, the word of God. From the very first. I don't think that's an accident. The very first message that was ever preached to a Pentecostal congregation. The word of God didn't penetrate their mind. And it didn't punch them in the mouth. But it went all the way to the heart. It went all the way to the heart. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And I'm going to tell you something. There needs to be a gigantic church in the city of Birmingham. And it needs to be this one. But I'm going to tell you what you're going to have to do. And there's a bunch of things. This is... But the core of it, the key to it all, is it has to be something that emanates from me and pierces all the way through to their heart. It pierces all the way through their drug problem. It pierces all the way through their gang paraphernalia and their hateful attitude, and it pierces all the way through a prejudiced spirit, and it finds its way to the heart of each and every individual in this city. I wish I'm preaching to somebody that believe that tonight, that if I can just get the Holy Ghost off on somebody, this city's never seen the revival like it's going to see. I said this city's never seen the revival. It's never even dreamed about it. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I wish I could do more than just preach it right now. I wish I could just come and lay hands on everybody and just let you know. Let it get all the way down into your heart. Hallelujah. This has to be something. It's not just something that makes you feel good. It's not just something that makes you dance and get out in the air. Hey, this is something that defines who you are. And when you know who you are, you know what you can do. So let it get on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We ought to love him. We ought to love him one more time. In our text tonight, in Matthew, Jesus was speaking. And this is what he said. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. In other words, the fruit defines you, but the fruit is the offspring of the tree. It's the expression of the tree. Everybody with me? In other words, and he starts talking about the heart. In other words, Either let the man be corrupt or let the man be good. Either let him bring forth good fruit. In other words, let his expression be good or let it be evil. Because out of the heart comes forth the fruit. And then he turns to the Pharisees and he calls them a generation of vipers. And then he addresses a problem that everyone in this place, you hear me, everyone, and I don't exclude myself. How can you, being evil, speak good things? If we were real honest with ourselves tonight, real honest, we would say that there have been times that I haven't been right with God. And yet, I have walked the walk and I have talked the talk, no matter what was wrong with the core. How can you, being evil, speak good things? And it's almost like a paradox that Jesus addresses. And he says this, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Speaking. Language. It requires all three parts of the human being. It requires your body to speak it, whether you speak it in sign language or whether you speak in English or German or French or Russian or Japanese. Redneck or Ebonics, however, whatever you speak, you have to use your mouth to speak it. But it also requires cognition. You have to know what you're saying. Body, soul. Soul, the Greek word for soul is psuche, from which we get the word, through an etymological trail, we get the word psychology, psychology, psychology. So in other words, body, soul, the soulish man, the mind, that's what it requires. It requires the body to speak it. It requires cognition. You have to know what you're saying. And Jesus said that it requires the heart as well, or the spirit, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In other words, the extreme expressive part, the part that's farthest out, the part that you can see, the extreme expressive part of the human body, expresses the abundance of the heart. Notice, it didn't say that you would express the best that's in your heart. It didn't say that you would express the worst that's in your heart. It said it would. You would express what's in your heart the most. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Mama, Daddy, you can't talk about the man of God in your home, in front of your children. It raises a question. When you hear yourself speak, what's in there the most? I can tell what's in there the most without having any spiritual I feel about you. All I have to do is listen to you talk. All I have to do is hear your conversation. That's why the psalmist said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God. Ask yourself, what's in there the most? You let out a blue streak of cuss words, just because you hit your thumb with a hammer. You slung that hammer all the way across the house. Somebody cut you off in traffic. Oh, that's a tough one. I will confess. Somebody's done you wrong. They didn't hang you on a tree. They didn't whip you. They didn't put a crown of thorns on your head. You better watch your mouth. Because it's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. That's why it's so refreshing. They don't even have to be a preacher. It's so refreshing to be around somebody that says, oh, you know what I read in John the first chapter? I don't know about you guys, but John the first chapter blows my mind every time I read it. In fact, the whole book does, and the whole Bible does. But, you know, I was just reading in there, and it's like I got the revelation of one God and Jesus Christ all over again. And you've heard that a million times. But it's so refreshing, because out of the abundance of their heart, their mouth is speaking. You know, you hear them talk, you know. I was just walking down the street the other day, and I ran into somebody that I knew from high school, and then they looked at me and they could tell that something was different, and I ended up praying for them and praying them through to the Holy Ghost right there in their front yard, and it's out of the abundance of their heart and their mouth is speaking. Hey, I'm talking to you about the key to revival for you as an individual and for this church and for this city. It has to go all the way to the heart. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. That's why worship and praise. We came together this evening. It's not just something we do because the rhythm got me. We don't just go, woo, hallelujah, just because that's something we say. We can think of more germane things to say to today's society, things that just hook up a little bit better. This is not just something we thought up, but we come because worship and praise is an expression of the heart. That's why the psalmist said, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. He said it again in Psalms 138. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praises unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Oh, with my whole heart. With my whole heart. This isn't some perfunctory motion that I go through. It's my whole heart. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praises even with my glory. Repentance has to come from the heart. Search me, oh God. And know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. The way everlasting. In other words, that means this way is never going to wear out. This way is never going to become old and decrepit. It's never going to become stodgy. It's the way everlasting. But it starts with, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me, see if there be any wicked way in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting. In the 51st Psalm, David said that the sacrifices of God or a broken spirit. And then he said, a broken and a contrite heart, oh God, thou wilt not despise. If you're here tonight and you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need to give him your heart. And that is where you start, with a broken and a contrite heart. Break up the fallow ground. I can hear him preach. Because the seed is the gospel, but it can't come in to hardened, earthy hearts. Give me your heart and I will change it from being a stony heart. I can hear Ezekiel write down that he shall change the stony heart into a heart of flesh. I can hear God talk to Josiah and say, Josiah, because of the vagrancies of Ephraim, and he named off all the other transgressions of the children of Israel, because of this and this and this, I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to lead them into captivity. But I'm not going to do it in your day. He said, because your heart is tender, tender toward me. God, make my heart right. God, make my heart right. Hallelujah. I remember when Alan came to church. Sacramento. In fact, my father was there preaching. The sermon was about being an extreme Christian. Extreme Christian. Alan came to church. If you ever meet Alan, he's one of the ushers there now. Alan's got eyes like this. And a grin like this. And I can't do it perfect, but you get the idea. That's what Alan looks like. And he works construction with his dad. And if you talk to him, he's not real intelligent. He's intelligent enough. He can go through life without getting run over and stuff like that, you know. But when the statement was made across that pulpit, who wants to be an extreme Christian? And you know, all of us cultured, sophisticated Pentecostals, we want to be an extreme Christian. Everybody, Alan stood up like this. I want to be an extreme Christian. And he came to the altar first that night. I'm talking about the guy that had polka dots on his truck. I had more energy than you knew what to do with. Had more energy than your 10 kids put together. And was just wild and had obscene stickers on the back window of his truck. Things that I wouldn't talk to you about in church or probably in any other setting. I'm talking about somebody that was wild. That would just run. I remember he'd come to youth service and would just run when we were playing basketball afterward. And he could, the ball would roll off the edge of the court. And, you know, most of us, we'd walk out there, not Alan. Just wild. But something got all the way down into his heart. Alan today doesn't miss church, and he's not late. And if he's not an usher that night, he's one of the first to the altar with his hands raised and those hot tears running down his face. And then when he's done, he's going to look for you because he's going to pray you through too, or he's going to help. But this was somebody that didn't have any hope. This is somebody that didn't have anything to look forward to. He didn't have the chance to develop into anything higher than he is, but he found something that was greater than all the kingdoms of this earth, and it made its way into his heart. I know this isn't real deep tonight, And I may not have tickled your theological bone, but God is pulling for your heart. Doesn't matter if you've been in this church for 20 years. God wants to touch your heart again tonight. It doesn't matter if you've been in this church for 2 minutes. God's pulling for your heart. And this altar's open. Why don't you give him your heart?
Lord, I give you my heart.
When you get here, why don't you find a place to pray?
Give you my soul.
I live for you. You want to kneel, you want to stand.
Every breath I take, every moment I'm away.
Have your way.
Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my soul.
Have your way. Lord, with all my heart.
Lord, with all my heart.
Oh, I worship you. Yes.
I
love you. All that is within me. All that's within me.
All that is within me.
Hallelujah.
He called
you on a bow. He died on a bow.
I give you my soul.
moment.
Every moment I'm away.
Have your way, Lord.
Have
your way.
Way.
Oh, yes.
But I give you my heart.
Give you my soul.
But I give you my soul.
I live for you. Have your way.
Have
your
way.
Oh, Lord, I give you my heart, my soul, and I live for you. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Oh, yes. Have your way in me. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, oh yeah. Hallelujah. Give you my soul. Let's all sing it. Lord, I give you my heart.
I give you my soul.
I live for you.
I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away.
Have your way. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for your spirit that's here tonight. God, for touching us. For touching us with your word. For touching us with your spirit, with your Holy Ghost. God, I ask you to get a hold of each and every heart that is here. God, those that live for you and those that don't. And God, begin a work in their heart. A new work in their heart. In the name of Jesus. I wonder if we could all lift our voice and lift our hands one more time. Let's lift it up with a loud cry. Let's give him our heart one more time tonight. I love you, Jesus.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. What a word in the house, folks. God said, David is a man after my heart. And let it be said of God's people that we would always be about his heart and about what he wants to do in our lives. Boy, thank you, Brother Will Banks, for the word tonight. We just appreciate it. And Lauren, did you speak in tongues tonight? Everybody give the Lord hand praise. First time God filled it with the Holy Ghost. Praise God.